My name is Angie Brown, and you are listening to the Being Luminary podcast, the podcast where I get into all things diversity, equity, and inclusion with luminary guests, a sprinkling of coaching, advice, guidance, and the inspiration for you to do things differently in your organization. If you want to create a luminary place to work, a luminary experience for your clients, your teams, your communities, if you are committed to overleaping compliance and heading straight for luminary approaches to DEI, you are in the right place. You are listening to the Being Luminary podcast, episode number 42.
So I've got a little bit of a different episode for you today. I wanted to give you a flavour of the woman behind the voice, who is Angie Brown. And that's because I do a lot on social media and in my newsletter and out in the world that's about being luminary, and it's about the work that I do, and it's about encouraging every single person who listens to the podcast and watches any of my social media feed to basically come and do brilliant diversity, equity, inclusion practice with me. But I thought it would actually be really nice today to share some more mundane features of my life. And well, I say mundane, I mean, to me, they're incredibly exciting, but to give you a little window into my Danish world. And I have to say, having just said Danish world, this is not particularly Danish. So I'm going to trial a few of these episodes. And if you like them, then let me know. And every now and then, I'll give you another download on what's going on in my world. But this one is an episode about my average day. I was just doing the school run, which isn't really a school run in the traditional sense, I don't think, because I don't drive anywhere. I walk it. And I was thinking, oh, it's funny. I don't know that any of my clients or anyone I work with really has ever seen what I do on a day-to-day basis. I mean, how would they? So that's where I got the idea. So here goes. Waking up. I am not a great sleeper and haven't been a great sleeper since my son was born in 2014. For those of you that have just had children, take heart. Every child is different. But I've experienced around about 9 years of not sleeping particularly well. So I wake up at around six. I usually wake up naturally around half six, but my son has decided that he needs to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning these days. So he sets an alarm, and it doesn't really matter how many times one says to a 9-year-old Aries boy, could you just kind of keep it down when you get up at 6 o'clock, because, you know, other people in the house are still asleep. He says, yeah. And his version of keeping it down is only slamming three doors on his way to the kitchen to pile up in his hands an unfeasible number of mandarins, drop a few on the way, and then kick all those doors shut on his way back to wherever he is squirreling mandarins away to eat them as a pre-breakfast snack. So, all this to say, I am awake at around 6 o'clock, and one of my first jobs is wrestling back some of the mandarins or pre-breakfast snack and making breakfast for the boy. My tendency is towards getting the kitchen prepared for the day ahead, so it's usually totally fine. I'll tell you about my domestic arrangements on another day, but I like to empty the dishwasher and fill up the water filter and all of those things for the day ahead. And then I proceed with my first coffee of the day. And that's one of the things that I had written down that I wanted to talk to you about, is the old coffee situation. So I used to be a person that would drink fresh coffee. I would actually grind the beans and make a fairly strong coffee with warm milk. And I kind of got into the habit of that a few years ago, and then realized that the caffeine was just too much for me to take. And basically weaned myself off real coffee. It's just, unfortunately, delicious to me, but I can't handle it. The body can't handle it anymore. So now I drink, okay, close your ears, everybody. All of you coffee snobs, you just better scroll through this bit really super fast. I drink instant coffee. Yeah, I do. I drink instant coffee, and I drink organic instant coffee, if that makes it any better for any of you listening who are appalled. I drink organic instant coffee, a massively large heaped teaspoon of it, half a teaspoon of maple syrup, organic maple syrup. And I know some of you are thinking, she's getting very specific about this, but I am a nightmare when it comes to the specificities of making coffee or, you know, a piece of toast or anything like that. So it's a heaped teaspoon of organic coffee. It's around half a teaspoon of organic maple syrup. And then it's a teaspoon of collagen if I have it. And I started taking collagen in my coffee because I started getting interested in the metabolic diet. And that was because after I turned 40, which was, you know, 7 years ago, I started to notice that certain things had a real impact on my hormones. And so started getting interested in the metabolic diet and started taking collagen just as an easy win to try and offer myself, offer my body a bit more support. And for some reason, collagen in my coffee in the morning just feels really kind of generous and kind to myself. Don't know why. So, teaspoon of collagen. And then here comes the delicious bit. A little bit of cream, single cream, and then a little bit of full fat milk. Are you getting the picture here? It's like a really kind of cozy, tasty, yummy, slightly naughty, delicious morning drink. Don't know what to say other than, thank you, Angie, for serving me up that lovely coffee. So that's what happens first thing. And then all of the, you know, trying to usher somebody into the bathroom to brush their teeth and all of that jazz, and then the shoes that take 1,000 years to put on, and then the coat that gets left behind, and the football that has to be stuffed into a bag, and all of those things happen. And then we go on the school run, which is a walk to the school bus. Takes 10 minutes through a field, along a road. Try not to have any rows, try and talk about something positive with the boy, and then put him on the bus. And then usually I have about half an hour or sometimes even an hour before I start my calls. Now, I live in Denmark, so I'm an hour ahead of the UK, and lots of my clients are based in the UK. So typically I would start maybe coaching at 9 o'clock my time, and delivering training to UK schools would probably be around 10 o'clock my time. So I usually have a little bit of time in the morning. And the trick is to make the use of that time so that hour or hour and a half can disappear and be lost really easily unless I'm super conscious about it. So an example of that is I am recording this podcast right now in the hour that I have, having dropped my son off at the bus. I noticed that I'm talking quite a lot about aging and hormones, and it's just reminded me that one of the things that I do that I wanted to mention in this podcast is moisturizing. Now, I wanted to share a product with those of you who are, interested in this kind of thing, I started using a 50 plus moisturizer about 3 years ago. And I think it's got CBD oil in it, and it's got all sorts of protective factors against the sun. I mean, I live in Denmark. There's not that much sun, let's face it, 6 months of the year. But it is called e-cooking, because that's how it's spelt. But I wonder if it's like eco-king or something like that. Anyway, they do a wake-up cream. So divine. So what I tend to do is I tend to head out to the school run with a kind of serum that I use, which is from Neil's Yard. And I think it's a frankincense one. It's the one for, you've guessed it, the older skin. And then I come back and then I put the moisturizer on, and that sets up the older, the old face for the day. So there you go. You've had a little bit of my approach to dealing with aging through the coffee, and then my approach to dealing with my aging skin. And I say that in the nicest possible way, because, you know, I love aging, through my moisturizing habits. If I'm not doing something productive, like recording a podcast or journaling, and I have fallen off the journaling wagon a little bit recently, then I do like to get a walk in the hour or hour and a half that I have between the school run and my first call. And so those of you that have followed my social media, you will notice that at points I have been in a real walking phase, and I've taken lots of pictures of me walking by the sea. I've dropped off of the walking phase recently as well, and I tend to walk at different times of the day. But when I do a morning walk, I usually do around 3 miles, so around 6K. And I walk up from my house, which is nestled in a tiny village called Leibu. For those of you who want to do a little bit of internet stalking, I live in a village called Leibu, L-E-B-Y, and that village is in on an island called Ærø, which is the Danish A with an E on its back, R-O with a line through it. And on that island, which is in southern Denmark, we reside. And so, yeah, look it up if you want to. You can see the tiny little island in the Baltic that I live on. And so from the village that's quite sheltered, I tend to walk up the hill to a ridge. And as you reach the top of the ridge, you can see the sea. I turn right and I head... I'm just going to say that I head north, but I probably don't. I am just hopelessly bad at working out things like directions. So now I'm thinking about it, I think I probably head... Yeah, I think I do head north, actually. And I walk along the ridge for about 3 kilometres. And then I head down to the sea. I get down to the sea, take a few deep ozone-y breaths, and then usually head straight back. And it's a kind of brisk walk, hills, sunshine, often very windy, often quite a lot of rain. And... really, the purpose isn't that that's where I do my main exercise, if you like. It's just to kind of shift out of the lethargy of sleep and to help my brain process the things that are going to be useful for the day ahead. So it is quite helpful to do that walk, I find, early in the morning. And I often advise my clients to get out into nature, partly because I think the chemistry change that happens when we're in nature or outside is just really helpful. I know lots of people who are very successful CEOs and head teachers and such like, and they cycle to work or they run before work and things. And I just think it's less about the exercise and more about the chemistry, what it does to your brain and how it allows you to find access to thoughts that are really helpful. So I do my walk in that window in the day if I can, and then I usually start my client calls. And most of my work now is me online with schools and usually with school leadership teams. I have a few coaching clients, but I haven't been actively taking on one-to-one coaching clients for about a year now. And so the coaching clients I have are people that I've been working with for a long time, or they are people who have managed to sneak in and I've just thought, yes, I can really help you and I would like to work with you. So I don't do much one-to-one coaching anymore, which means that my day usually consists of two and a half or two hour big chunks of delivery online. And then I will have a few scheduled meetings with people who are interested in working with Being Luminary or with people who are following up after a group session. So if I start a group call at 10 and I'm working with my colleague Hannah Wilson and we're delivering our program, we'll be finished by 12:30 my time. And some days we do two programs a day, so we'll have an hour and a half break and then we'll do another session in the afternoon. And some days I'm doing my own Being Luminary program and I'll start at 10 and finish at 12 and then maybe start up again at 2 and then finish at 4, and in between I'll have some meetings. So I pretty much do a 9 to 5, and I usually have odd bits of time during the day that I would class as downtime, but in that downtime, I'm pretty poor at taking a break. So if I have an hour or I have an hour and a half available, I will sometimes do that 3-mile walk that I described earlier. But often the scrolling on social media or posting on social media or thinking I'm just going to quickly answer an email takes over. So one of the things that I really want to work on personally, just because my work habits I don't think are great, is ensuring that I take a break, a proper break in between sessions, and really change my brain chemistry again. I notice, back to aging, that my energy levels are so different to the way that they were when I was a head teacher. And so now my work pattern is that I need to have stops and I need to have changes of activity during the day. I used to be able to just plow on for 6 or 7 hours continuously in one mode. And now I really recognize that I have to change environment. I have to change. Sometimes I even change the computer that I'm working on or go and work in a different room because I can't sustain 6 or 7 hours nonstop anymore without doing that. So there's an interesting note to self around how my environment really affects the things that I'm doing. At some point in the afternoon, usually around 2:30, my son will come home from school, and they finish school quite early here, and so we then commence the dance of him taking an excessive number of mandarins, apples, and other things from the fridge or wherever they are, and me saying, do you think you really need to eat that many before dinner? So we have the snack fight every afternoon, which is a fun fight to have, and actually it's a fine fight to have, isn't it, if you're just talking about fruit. And I try to get him to come and do something with me, maybe get a breath of fresh air, maybe we just take a walk around the block, tell me about school. It doesn't happen every day, we don't manage it every day and I'm working a lot of the time in the afternoon from home also. And I say that because I often get a lot of quizzical looks about working from home. Some people think it's a great thing. Other people think you know, you should be spending that time as a sort of stay. I think other people imagine that I'm a stay at home mum, which I'm absolutely not. I've always been somebody that was working while my son was little, and I continue to work and finish at around 5 o'clock, even as he grows older. But certainly I work from home, and when he gets home, I'm at home and we have a bit of time for each other and together, which is great. And I like to cook the evening meal in the afternoon if I possibly can. So if I have a break late afternoon and then say I have a meeting at the end of the day, I'll try and squeeze in a little bit of domesticity. So that's when I will try to cook a meal. And it's also when I will try to put a wash on. I know, this is all extraordinarily fascinating for you. I wanted to talk about cooking though, because I love cooking, and I notice running a business and being a parent that cooking gets squeezed out of the way, and finding interesting and delicious and lovely things to cook that don't take hours and hours is quite tricky. And I used to love taking hours and hours in the kitchen, but I really don't feel like I can fit it in these days. So I tend to cook quite easy meals, and we eat the same thing all the time. So every week there will be some kind of spaghetti bolognese situation. That's my son's favourite food. And every week there will be a kind of rice-based dish, and every week there will be some kind of jacket potato type thing. So it's really basic. One thing that I do is I pretty much exclusively organic food. And I'm really lucky because my mum is a hugely talented and prolific gardener. So 6 months of the year, we also have a lot of fruit and veg from her vegetable garden, which is incredible. My favourite meal from last week was a roast pumpkin and rice and tomatoes and roast cauliflower kind of medley. And I wanted to share that with you because it was super quick, very easy, very delicious, very nutritious. The pumpkin was from one of the garden pumpkins from my mum, and roasted it in the oven with a bit of cayenne pepper, a little bit of cauliflower. Put some whole garlic cloves in there as well, some olive oil, salt and pepper, roasted under foil, and then took the foil off at the end. Had it with some brown rice that I'd soaked previously. If you're not soaking your rice, then you really ought to be. So much easier for the body to digest, so I'm told. Had it with some rice, and then had a little tiny bit of Greek yogurt on the top. And then, pièce de la résistance, I fried up a little bit of onion with a few sultanas and some pine nuts, sprinkled those on the top as well. Oh, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss, everybody. Now, I had that and it was delicious, but I was only able to have that because I had leftovers in the fridge of bolognese, I think, that my son could have. He wouldn't be seen anywhere near a roasted pumpkin with roasted cauliflower. So on occasions, I'll be cooking two different meals. So there you have it, friends. Some of my day in a slightly rambly and slightly odd podcast episode, but I just wanted to give you a window into my world. And if all that sounds like, oh, her life is so perfect, which it might do for some people, and it might feel like, wow, I thought she was a lot more interesting than that for some of you also, then I want to just normalize it by telling you what I feel like I need to work on, and that is sleep. My sleep is pretty bad, and I can't just blame my son who wants to get up at 6 a.m, because getting up at 6 a.m. is actually a perfectly fine thing. I just don't go to bed early enough, and I find that I don't do the wind down before bed effectively at all. So 2023 is the year when I have committed to myself to work on sleep, and it means less scrolling. It means fewer interactions with the phone after 10 o'clock at night. It means being really disciplined with work and not letting work thoughts and then quickly checking emails pervade or interrupt. So yeah, shout out to those of you who are also trying to work on sleep this year. And if you like this episode or you found it interesting to get a window, then let me know. Maybe once a quarter, I'll share some other insights with you. I say insights, you say irrelevant facts about your life, Angie. However it goes, we're just here getting to know each other, right? Drop me an email, leave us a review, tell me about how you are a luminary, an everyday but by no means ordinary luminary. Tell me about your sleep. I'd love to find out who's listening to this podcast and what's going on in your world too. Have a great day ahead, friends, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Being Luminary podcast. I would love to hear your thoughts on the podcast, so please do leave us a review. Each month, I will be picking one of our reviewers to get a free laser coaching session as a thank you. And remember, if you know a luminary or an everyday thought leader who would benefit from listening to this podcast or who would love to be featured on the cast, then please do share it with them. This episode was presented by me, Angie Brown. Original music is by Martin Ostwick. The series is edited by Big Tent Media and produced by Emily Crosby Media.